Welcome to Coastal Cafe. I'm Marianne Wagner, your host today. Coastal Cafe is a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the University of Washington College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM. Today, I am delighted to have on our program two guests, Sarah Fiskin, Marine Operations Specialist with Washington Sea Grant, and Petty Officer Steve Strohmeyer with the U.S. Coast Guard in Seattle. We'll be talking about safety at sea, which is a concern for fishermen and recreational boaters across the country. Sarah manages the safety program for two offices, one in Port Townsend and another at Fisherman's Terminal in Seattle, Washington. The program has provided a critically important service to fishermen and boaters for over 20 years. Sarah started with Washington Sea Grant in 1982, coming from commercial fishing, a background that helps immensely in her work to improve safety and operations on the water. Starting in the 1970s, she fished on a troller out of Lepush, Washington, and for 9 seasons in Southeast Alaska. Today, Sarah coordinates Washington Sea Grant's U.S. Coast Guard-approved safety classes, which have been widely credited with reducing fatalities at sea regionally. So, welcome to Coastal Cafe, Sarah.
Thank you.
You were fishing in the days before survival suits and safety training, I bet, and you came to appreciate the value of prudent safety measures, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yep. I think I was fishing for about 3 years before we were required to carry survival suits.
Wow. That's
three or four.
Excellent. Yeah. So you know this fact. Commercial fishing ranks as the second most deadly job in the United States. So tell us about the First Aid at Sea program. What do participants learn that helps them when they're at sea and something goes wrong?
Okay. The First Aid program is a Coast Guard approved program, and I don't teach it myself. I have an instructor who teaches it, and he covers CPR, patient assessment, hypothermia, cold water near drowning, shock, trauma, burns, immobilization, and first aid kits, plus a few other topics.
Wow, that's quite a list. And all those are things that could happen while on a vessel at sea?
Yes, at any time.
There are many outfits offering safety training, though. So what is different about these workshops offered through Washington Sea Grant?
The first aid class is, the instructor and I developed it together about 15 years ago, and we got it approved by the Coast Guard. It's sort of a hands-on, very hands-on, kind of down and dirty class where he doesn't embellish anything. He just tells the facts. Most of the fishermen really like it.
And doesn't it have lower fees, particularly for commercial fishermen?
Yes, commercial fishermen. There's a grant I get from the Seattle Fishermen's Memorial Committee, and that pays for half the cost of the class.
So the program is subsidized, and that helps lower costs overall, making it
right.
More affordable for boaters.
Right.
Washington Sea Grant does these courses wherever people need them to be, like right on their vessels. Is that correct?
Yes. We do these, the first aid classes, and we go to Nia Bay, Bellingham, Gig Harbor, Lepush. We do the first aid class in Seattle. We've done it on board an ecotourism boat in Bellingham and one also based out of Paul's Boat.
So the courses travel around the state, presenting on-site wherever needed. Is that a little unique?
It is very unique.
But that helps you get to those communities that are harder to get to and or can't travel easily.
Right.
Is that right?
Right,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that's an excellent service. And the program also offers something called an AMSCA drill instructor course. What is that?
It's a drill instructor course that's required for commercial fishermen who fish outside of 3 miles, and it's a course run through the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association based out of Sitka. It teaches fishermen how to conduct a proper drill on board their boat. So it covers men overboard, firefighting, abandoned ship, PFDs, how to put on a survival suit, how to get into a life raft, what's it like being in a life raft, things like that.
So life rafts, that's interesting. And it may seem obvious to some, but tell us why these safety skills are important when on the water.
Because it can save lives.
It's pretty straightforward, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a dangerous business, even for recreational boaters. Things can go awry. So it's
right.
And it's good to have all your ducks in a row and be well trained. In fact, here's a quote from a fisherman that you gave me that was, and this fisherman was grateful for the training he received, and here's what he said. We ran aground on the final day of a 4-day run, and within a half hour, our boat was lost. We kept our cool, no one argued, and we abandoned ship safely. Our crew knew what to do because we had taken safety classes.
Yeah, that's true. He had taken that class, the drill instructor class, in right before he left for fishing in Alaska in June.
So up in Alaska is where they were, and their boat, it looks like it had some pretty serious issues.
It ran into a rock.
And sank.
And they tried to save it, but they couldn't.
So you also work with tribes in the area. Who have you been giving trainings to?
We work with the Macaw tribe, the Quileute tribe, the Quinaults, and we've done a little bit of work with the Suquamish.
That's right. A few times you've provided a training to members of the Suquamish tribe before the annual tribal canoe journey. Is that right?
Yes, that's true.
Tell us about that. What kind of skills?
They have asked us to provide some training for them when they have to go on the longer trips, like, say, up to Canada. If they have to cross wide bodies of water, like the Strait of Juan de Fuca, they've asked us to come in and talk about hypothermia, cold water near drowning, different types of PFDs, how to, if the canoe flips over and they end up in the water, how to get the water out of the canoe and back in it safely.
That's right. They're traveling long distances during these tribal canoe journeys, and they're
right.
Exposed to weather in open boats.
Right.
And didn't they have an incident at one point?
They did. One of their canoes flipped over last year, or 2 years ago, I think.
And how did that all turn out?
It turned out well. Also, I should mention these canoes have support boats that travel with them. But even so, the paddlers should know, you know, how to take care of themselves if that's the case.
I understand you hold trainings right on the boats with crew members present. What are some water vessels that you have trained on?
Well, in the drill instructor course, towards the end of the course, we use someone's boat that's tied to a dock, and we do various drills on board the boat. We do a man overboard drill, firefighting drill, a flooding drill, and ending with an abandoned ship drill where they have to get into their survival suits, get in the water, and swim to a life raft and get in the life raft.
Workshop services are now expanding to include the eco-tourism industry. Last year, you offered first aid training for a Bellingham-based whale-watching crew. Is that right?
Yes. And then this past spring, we did a first aid course on board the eco-tourism boat, the Seawolf. And then we also did a drill instructor course for them. And they go up to Glacier Bay every summer, spend the whole summer around Glacier Bay.
So they're also exposing themselves to the elements on a regular basis.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the crew really needs to know what they're doing, don't they?
Right. And the owner of the boat is very conscientious about safety. So.
More recently, an ecotourism boat you mentioned had an onboard stroke incident with a customer while in Alaska. Is that right?
That was about a year ago, yes.
How did that work out?
It worked out well. The crew knew what to do, and they got the person off the boat, and he survived. So.
Excellent. Well, that's a great story. And it sounds like you've had lots of great outcomes from the safety trainings.
Right.
So in addition to first aid training, Washington Sea Grant offers a workshop called Drill Instructor Training. You've mentioned that a couple times. So what exactly is that?
That is a Coast Guard required class to learn how to conduct drills on board a fish boat.
So students put on survival suits. What are those?
Those are, they're made out of neoprene. They're full body suits. You put them on over your clothes. They have a hood, they have feet, it's just one piece, and they actually float you.
These suits actually float you. And are these suits, like, already on the vessels, just ready to go?
Yes, they're required to have them on the vessels.
It's a Coast Guard requirement.
Yes.
So you coordinate other hands-on workshops on such essential technologies as marine hydraulics, electrical wiring, and small engine repair. So tell us about why these skills are useful to fishermen, because this is above and beyond first aid. So why would they need to know all these details?
It's good for them to know. A lot of skippers will send their crew members to these so the skippers don't have to do all the work on the boat, and also it saves them money in the long run if they don't have to call somebody out to repair their engine or their hydraulics.
If you're just joining us, this is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, and I am Marianne Wagner, today's host on Coastal Cafe, and we're speaking with Sarah Fiskin, Marine Operations Specialist with Washington Sea Grant. Sarah, you were a fisher yourself, as I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
And you were fishing at a time when few women were fishing. What drew you to the business?
It was sort of by accident. My husband was fishing, and, well, my first fishing trip experience was on a fishing troller off out of La Push, and I knew the skipper, and I wanted to go work on an archaeology gig in England, so I had to pay for that. So I fished for half the summer, made enough money, and did that. And then a few years later, my husband was working on a purse seiner in Southeast Alaska, and the skipper's wife, who was fishing, decided she didn't want to do it anymore, so I took over for her.
So tell us about the purse seiner fishing. Is that a specialized skill? Did you need to have some training for that?
I got trained the first day I was on the boat.
And from there?
Sort of said, here, do this.
And that was your official training?
Yeah.
That's great. So I bet you have fishing stories around safety in all those years of fishing. Do you have anything you can recall that are worth sharing with our audience today?
Well, it's kind of embarrassing.
Go ahead and tell us.
Okay, I can't remember what year it was, but we were on an old wood boat, and it was one of the planks was leaking. We had a leak going all the way down, and I just remember I was on a watch with my husband, and it was in the middle of the night, and I was so tired I fell asleep standing up, holding on to something.
Really?
Yeah.
So that could be a safety concern.
Yeah, it could be. Thankfully, he was awake.
That's great. So you've been on the water, either fishing or sailing, most of your life.
All my life. Yeah, all my life.
And it must be gratifying to be in the world teaching others or coordinating workshops where others gain these life-saving skills.
Yes, it is.
Sort of a passion of yours, I imagine.
Right. It is.
So
we even carry survival suits on our sailboat, actually.
Excellent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you had any other mishaps that you can share with us that are...
No. Mm-mm. No.
Because you're so on top of it. Have no problems.
I've been nervous a few times, but no mishaps.
So tell us about some of these technical courses that you are coordinating. Are they really popular with the fishermen in the fishing community? How do they respond to that?
They're becoming popular, the hydraulics and the diesel engine especially. And I've had some fishermen go through the marine electrical wiring also.
Why do you imagine that is of interest?
Oh, I just think they're becoming more aware of it's getting more expensive to have anybody do work on your boat these days. So I think they're just becoming more aware of that.
Yeah, it makes sense to do it yourself, right?
Right, right.
And that way you know that it's wired safely or that you're doing it safely.
Exactly.
There's probably a sense of security in knowing that.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to be broken down. If you break down for too long, you lose money if you're not fishing.
Yes, in that industry, that's critical. Time is everything, isn't it?
Right.
And I imagine that you don't want to be stuck out in the ocean either, waiting around.
No, you don't. because that could get very expensive.
And isn't that dangerous as well?
It can be. If you don't have engine power, it can be dangerous. And it's rough, it can be dangerous.
Right. With rough weather, you never know when the weather's going to change.
Right.
Well, thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome.
Now I'm talking with Petty Officer Steve Strohmeyer, U.S. Coast Guard spokesperson with the Pacific Northwest region, based in Seattle, Washington. Thank you, Steve, for joining us today.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, it's going great. Thank you for spending a few minutes with us, Steve. I have a couple questions. Can you tell me what are some of those skills that the Coast Guard deems important for commercial fishermen and recreational boaters both when they're out on the water?
Well, the biggest thing is obviously safety is the most paramount aspect of being out on the water, whether you're a commercial sailman, a commercial fisher, I should say, or if you're a recreational boater or just a paddle craft user. You know, we want you to have the necessary safety gear and know exactly how to use it if the time arises. So that's, bar none, the biggest thing right there and there, making sure that you have a life jacket on, not just stored or on board, having it on, making sure you file float plans and you look at the weather and you obviously are not boating under the influence. Those are the basics of boating, I should say.
So tell me, what's the role of the Coast Guard in ensuring that fishermen and boaters have access to safety information?
A lot of the safety information that is put out online, and you can look that up, based on your type of vessel and the length of it, and its intended use, certain safety restrictions and certain regulations are going to come into play. If it's above a certain length, you might require to have a life ring that's throwable, for example. You might need, navigation lights on it if it's up above a certain length. And, of course, if you're going to be using it commercially, what kind of equipment do you have on board for fishing or for the safety in that regard, too? And those are things that we check. We call them boardings. They're just, safety boardings that we go on board different vessels throughout the Pacific Northwest to ensure that they're complying with the regulations that are set forth.
So these boardings, are they sort of at random? And when you see a vessel, then you just sort of glide up to them and ask if you can board and do a check?
Yeah, that's basically it in a nutshell right there. A lot of the boardings that we do are random. If we haven't seen this vessel out in recent times, we'll go up to it and respectfully ask to board it, just ensure that they have the proper safety gear, know how to use it, that they have different items there that are required to be on board, especially if it's above a certain length and they're doing this commercially for some big money. We need to make sure that they are safe and operating properly. So we will do it between basically anything from a paddleboard all the way up to these, giant, commercial ships coming into port here.
Wow, that's quite a range. I didn't realize you did it for paddleboards as well.
We don't really board them per se.
That would be hard.
One of the things, though, we obviously want to make sure that they have life jackets on board. But one of the big things a lot of people don't realize, we try to issue what's called an if found sticker. So in times of storms, or maybe people are kind of just negligent and might leave a paddleboard or a kayak out, and that item may go astray and go into the water, and now we find it, we have to create a search and rescue case off that. If we find something, no one's there, we're going to treat that as an active, rescue case. So from that, we're issuing these stickers that have a person's name and number that could be easily found, and we can contact them pretty quickly. It just kind of expedites the situation and saves, resources. People from being out on the water and taking their time to look for somebody that's not there, and obviously the natural resources of fuel and whatnot.
So the Coast Guard really has a good system in place for protecting people who are on the water. You have a process.
We try. We've been doing it since 1790, so we try.
You've got a few years to practice.
Yeah.
So what are some of the specific skills that the U.S. Coast Guard is looking for in terms of safety? I mean, I know that Washington Sea Grant trains fishermen and boaters on skills such as how to set a broken arm, to do when there's a fire on board, night watching skills. So do you have any skills in addition to that that you think are paramount for fishermen?
I mean, we do a lot on the larger container ships and those types of vessels. We do inspect that, you know, they do know how to firefight. They do know how to board their life raft. In that regard, on a much larger scale, those can be very risky situations if they get into a, you know, perilous type of situation. When we're on board, the fishing vessels aren't per se checking exactly how, you know, knowledgeable they are at the helm. Like, can they, you know, helm through a storm? But we want to make sure that they're fishing, you know, not illegally, I should say. It's one of those that the smaller a vessel is, we're not going to be quizzing you on how to properly navigate, but you should be able to know the rules. And if you are in violation of those rules, that's when we, you know, we'll enforce them. And obviously we are working with our local law enforcement agencies to assist in that.
So can you tell us, what are some of the most common mishaps on the water?
You know, a lot of them come from, you know, people, to be honest, a lot are, you know, drinking, you know, being under influence type of situations, and obviously not having life jackets on. You're always, you know, reaching for it. It's like being in a car accident and not having your seatbelt on. Well, while it's happening, it's a little too late. So it's the same thing. You know, people always need to have their life jacket on. But yeah, I've had a few stories that, you know, I've been in for 7 years, and my first three were spent on the Great Lakes and seeing how frozen and how people can really be not cognizant of how dangerous the Great Lakes can be is pretty interesting. So, and, you know, being on the East Coast for 3.5 years, and I just got out to Pacific Northwest, so getting to see a lot of things in a different light here.
So, you know, what are some of the differences between the coasts?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that I've first and foremost noticed is that it gets pretty deep here pretty quickly. On the East Coast, you know, there's buoys all over the place because there's a lot of nooks and crannies and a lot of a little bit shallower. And therefore, it's, I think with the waves too, it's a little bit quicker out here. These waves, so far what I've seen, get pretty large, but they are a little bit more spaced in between the waves. Again, I've only been underway on the Pacific Ocean one time since I've been out here, so it was pretty interesting. But same thing in the Great Lakes. A lot of people don't realize, but you can get, you know, waves that are up to 20 to 30 feet on the Great Lakes. So
that's amazing.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah, and people don't expect that, do they, on a lake?
Oh, absolutely not. No, that's why, mm-hmm. You know, we still exist in the Great Lakes. People, you know, sometimes they're like, oh, the Coast Guard. You know, in Michigan? Why is that? So, and we're a pretty vital resource out there. So,
yeah, and even on the West Coast here, I know that people don't expect the waves to get as big as they do, but they can be pretty large and come mm-hmm. up very sudden.
Yes, for sure.
And I understand that the Coast Guard has volunteers, an auxiliary team. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. The Coast Guard Auxiliary is one of our, they're really such a great force, a great asset for us to use. You know, they are volunteers through and through. They're willing to help us out. You know, when it comes to search and rescue, they might be on scene before us looking for an individual. You know, they're out there, devoting their time.
So they have their own boats, their own vessels, I should say.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're out there cruising the waters looking for those in need.
Correct, yes. They have, yeah, their own boats, and we actually use, if they have their airplanes too, they can apply to be a Coast Guard Auxiliary member.
That's fascinating. I mean, there's so much to the Coast Guard that we don't realize, that you support our fishing communities in so many ways that the public may not be aware. So it's really nice to chat with you about all these interesting ways that you're supportive. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Petty Officer Steve Strohmeyer, with the Pacific Northwest region of the U.S. Coast Guard. We really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Not a problem. Glad to talk. Glad to get the safety message out there.
This is Marianne Wagner, and you've been listening to Coastal Cafe, a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the UW College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM. Washington Sea Grant helps people and marine life thrive by providing research, technical expertise, and education that support the conservation of our ocean and coastlines. I'd like to thank our station manager, Larry Stein, and production engineer, Jared Dufresne. And a shout-out to the local Native American band, Kuiks, for sharing their music with us at the open and closing of this program. And thank you for listening, and have a good day.